Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading is from Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Bear with me as reading scripture is not my strongest talent. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to anyone else. For each one should carry their own load.
I didn't take my glasses off this time with the mask. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity now to look to your word and spend time with it. We pray that it would be powerful as that two-edged sword that would reach into our very souls, whether we need to be convicted or encouraged and pushed forward or held back, whether we need to learn something new or remember something old. May your Spirit apply it to our lives, and may I speak the words of truth and not wander off. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing on our One Another series, and this is Carry Burdens for One Another from Galatians. Now, as we did last week, we also want to talk about balance. There's a difference between carrying a burden for someone and when necessary and becoming codependent and helping someone when they don't need help. There are plenty of other scriptures that deal with these other things. Indeed, we all know the verses, if someone does not work, they shall not eat. I know if somebody can do it and then we do it for them, that can be enabling. However, we are talking about those healthy relationships today where everyone is overburdened at times and we need to come in and help and come alongside them. Just a story to understand these type of things. Sometimes people get overburdened because life gets out of hand. Sometimes they're foolish. Here's a foolish story for me. The Mall of America had just opened. I didn't even live by it. You know, I lived 17 years within 5 minutes of it. But this is before I lived there. And we decided to drive up in the first week it was open. Now, first off, that's not the most brilliant idea. And so we got to the Mall of America, and we parked a half a mile away from the mall. And you know they have massive parking garages attached to it because so many people were there. And then we got up to the third story on the far side of the building into a sporting goods store. And I saw what I had not seen before, you know, some 50-pound weights with for a 1-inch bar for my weight set. I said, ooh, I have to buy these. And I bought two, of course, because they come in matte sets. Not remembering that I was a half a mile through the mall to the other side of the mall, two stories, really big stories up, and a half a mile once I got outside the mall to my vehicle. And so I started off like anyone carrying 50-pound weights does, carrying both of them like this and acting real tough. That ended real quickly, and my teenage son Monty was helping me with one. And then he had to do the He-Man both at the time, and then we just went back and forth. We were carrying on their head, we were carrying on their back, we were carrying them everywhere. We got them back there. But I don't think I think I would just left them for somebody else to take if Monty wasn't there to help. And yes, it was my foolishness that got into it, but, you know, Monty still tells that story about I bought 100 pounds of weight that I had to carry out. This is not just physically, but burdens are not only physical. They can be emotional, I mean mental, it can be spiritual. And there are times when it's not proper to even ask, should we be in this overburdened state or not? The question is just, how do we help the person? And so we're going to start as we did other weeks and first define our words. We have two words to define this day because we have carrying and burdens. And so first the noun, the burdens. This is pertinent because there are two words for burdens in our text today. And verse 2, we have this word for a heavy burden, typically a burden heavier than one person can carry alone. It's defined as a heavyweight, a load, or metaphorically, an oppression. It can be anything that's weighty, whether good or bad, as long as it's a lot of weight. Okay? And verse 5, if you paid attention, everyone should carry their own burden. That's a different word. That's a lighter word, normally for somebody's pack. And so we do see here that everyone's supposed to carry their load, but there are some burdens that are greater. And so Paul is taking great pains with his words to show us that sometimes we get weighted down with things that we are not designed, we are not meant to carry alone. Here's some of the ways this is used other than in verse 2, which is our text. Matthew 10:12. This is the illustration Jesus tells, the parable of the vineyard, and some were hired early, some mid, some late, and the people are complaining because they all got paid the daily's wage. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the weight, the burden of the work in the heat of the day. Okay? And so we said it's heavy. Now, of course, this is an illustration of the gospel and the kingdom and how none of us earn our way. Everyone it is given to, blessed and fulfilled. Now, Acts 15:28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to weigh you down with anything beyond the following requirements, not to put too heavy a weight on you. Okay? That's spiritually and in instructions for the Gentile believers. 2 Corinthians 4:17. This is one we read a lot at funerals, and it's a hard one to read, but it's important. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal, let's translate it literally, an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, this is when it's used good. The weight of our glory is so much greater than the weight of our afflictions in this life. And so when we trust in the Lord through the hard times, it is building up and massing up a heavy weight. Glory you want a lot of. You want a heavy weight of that. And so we see it's a heavy burden, and it tells us that the glory will outweigh our struggles, and so remain faithful to the Lord. And so we see it's a heavy weight. Number of years ago, I think my middle child was 30 back then. I was replacing a 50-gallon water heater in the home I lived in then. And I got the exact same model, so I wouldn't have to do any plumbing. Put it in. Well, as I was done, we couldn't get all of the water out of the other one. And I told Mike, the only thing we have left to do, everything's done, is carry this one up out of here. And I thought we both would do it. My 30-year-old son, as 30-year-old sons are wont to do, put it under his arm. It was about this big, you know, 50-gallon thing. And just ran up the stairs with it. And I was impressed. And I remember being 30. 30 is good. You know, I talked to his wife the next day. He was at the chiropractor. Okay, very, very important point here. Whether it's a physical or an emotional or a mental or a spiritual burden, some things are not made to be carried alone, even if you can. Okay? That's why Paul is so important to look at this heavy weight. There's some things that will come into your life that if you're not in a group of people who love you, a group of believers that have your back, if they're not with you, you may not be able to get through. Or if you get through, you're going to get through scarred. And so we see it's a heavy weight. And this is true also spiritually. I was only 26 years old. I decided to get together with a rural pastor. I was in North Dakota, the big town of 3,500 people, but a rural pastor, and we decided we'd just connect with one another. And we went to lunch, and I asked him, how are things going? And he didn't shut up for 2 hours. It was that bad. Now, this guy was old enough to be my father, but he was really struggling in ministry. And it was just weighing him down so terribly. And I kept him talking. I know when you're trying to get all the poison out. I kept asking questions so he'd get it out. And he was thinking of leaving the ministry after 20-some years. And he was just felt like it's all criticism, and how do you grow a church when you're 30 miles away from a town, the booming town of 3,500 people? I ended up meeting with him weekly for a couple of years. And this guy who wanted to leave the ministry did not leave the ministry, but continued in the ministry and eventually became a pastor to pastors. And now I was not really good at this at 26 years old, but he just needed somebody to listen and somebody to commiserate. And he got through because I took a little of the weight of the burden. And he was able to get his perspective. And it was very beneficial, the relationship to me as well. Now let's define the word carry. This is a simple word. We won't spend as much time on it. It simply means to lift up or carry away. Matthew 18, 16 through 17. This is when we're going to have a quote from Isaiah 53, 4. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Jesus, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. And then Matthew says, the narrator, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he carried our diseases. Now we know this is the great substitution passage in the Old Testament, the prophecy of Jesus, that he carried the weight of our sicknesses. And this is both real sicknesses and spiritual sicknesses. And then we see also that the verse I already mentioned about the people who were working in the vineyard, we have borne the burden. They carried the burden. And then we see in Luke chapter 7, verse 14, then they went up, Jesus went up, and touched the bier they were carrying him on. This is a woman's only son who had died, and they're in funeral procession. Touched the bier they were carrying him on. And of course, Jesus said, young man, I say, get up. And he did. And that would be pretty cool. Somebody sitting up on a bier in a funeral procession and then walking out. All of a sudden, you're not mourning, you're celebrating. And from one emotion to another, it would have been pretty powerful. And then the last one, Jesus got in trouble with the leaders oftentimes. Again, his Jewish opponents lifted up stones to stone him. That means they bundled up with ammunition. Can you imagine? This is like a snowball fight. You know how you know you're a kid and you got like six of them across here and you have one here and then you go after your brother? Only it's stones to kill Jesus. Now, this was not his time. But that's a word for lifting up. And so it's just a normal word. And so what we see here is we are supposed to come alongside and take some of the weight off, or maybe take the whole weight off for a time and spell people. Now, we go to the context, and we go back to verse 1, and we see one of the burdens that we carry for people is the burden of temptation. You say, well, how can I carry your burden of temptation? You know, I don't know when you're being tempted. But we can help prevent when we connect with one another and share with one another, and then we can carry the weight of restoration. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. And so this prevention, even though it's not directly seen here, we see it by the context in verse 2, that when we connect deeply with people, we can know one another, we can carry the burden, and sometimes we can prevent it from happening in the first place. And, you know, in Celebrate Recovery that meets on Thursday out of this church, the O, recovery has R, E, C, O, you know, each one stands for something. This is the O, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. You get that last bit? This is what we're being told to do here. And many other places in Scripture make it even more explicit. And so we're supposed to confess our sins to one another, as Paul says in another epistle. And so we tell our weaknesses. Sometimes that leads to accountability and checking in with one another. How are you doing, Bill, on that? Well, you know, I made some ground this week. It's still a struggle, though. And sometimes that leads to a counselor. Sometimes that leads to all kinds of things. But if we don't know one another's weaknesses and what we struggle with, then we can't help each other. Now, what about restoration? once maybe we have been trying to prevent, but it has happened anyway. First off, notice here that restoration has to be gentle. This is part of this connection that we have in carrying burdens. First off, it is the height of hypocrisy for me, a sinner saved by grace and declared a saint by the work of Jesus through no work of my own, to begin all, oh yeah, about your sins, right? Now, I know the way it is. Some things I'm tempted to do that you're not tempted to do. And you're looking at, oh, Bill, oh, how could you? And, you know, this goes the other way, though, too, because some things I'm not tempted to do, you are tempted to do. And I'm saying, ooh, how could you? That's so heinous, because I wouldn't do it. Yeah, it's hypocritical. And so we have to gently come. And otherwise, we even say, if we come too harsh, we're giving Satan an opportunity to get us. And so this gentle restoration. The word for restoration is a word that comes from the root in Greek for preparation. And it normally means to put fully in order. Okay. I have 10 grandkids. The 5 youngest ones, if you put them in my basement, in the big room where we have the toys, for 5 minutes... I defy any adult to clean it up in less than half an hour. Right? I have no idea how this is. I've tried to logically even understand it. Okay? Put fully in order takes some time. It takes some work. And so what we're talking about here to restore is not just a service when somebody has confessed and we lay hands on and say that. We're talking about the whole process. We're talking about going from where you admit that you have failed to where you're a place of strength. And that takes time and people with you. I knew a lady years ago, this is before a little thing we call the internet. Online, we had bulletin boards back then. And those of us who are really slick and contributing editors to Christian Computing Magazine would post on the bulletin boards. And those other 10,000 people in the U.S. that were on those bulletin boards could read them. Yeah, so you couldn't do the Amazon stuff, but she was a compulsive shopper, and she was depressed for 6 months. It took her more than 6 years to pay off her 6 months of depression. It took her more than 2 years in counseling, financial counseling and emotional counseling, to understand why she spends when she's depressed, to get out of it. But you know what she had? She had friends that were with her through the whole process. And when she first started down this, there were a lot of failures where she would go out spending again. And there's one friend that said, okay, we're going to return things. I'm going with you. And they'd get the receipts, they'd take the package, they'd go in. You know what they did? She told the people, I'm a compulsive shopper, I shouldn't have bought it in the first place, when they said, why are you returning it? That's what she did. Because she wanted to get out of it. That's some power to break, but people are around her. And it takes time, but we can be restored to a stronger place. We see that carrying burdens is love in verse 2, the second half of it. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We could go to a few verses that talk about the law of Christ, but the one I preached on a couple weeks ago around New Year's, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And also, you know, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your whole soul, and strength. Love your neighbor and as yourself. On this, all the law and prophets depend. Or this is the foundation of all the law and the prophets. And every command is about love. And so we're told that when we get into the dirtiness of bearing the burdens of other people, that that is exercising love. And it's acting like Jesus did. Jesus is the one that went to Zacchaeus and Matthew, the tax collectors, Jewish tax collectors for Rome, who ate in their houses, who called one to be a disciple and later an apostle, who writes the Gospel of Matthew. He was the one that sat down with the prostitutes, not when they were inappropriate, when other people would stay clear. He's the one that hung out with the people, not notorious sinners, but were simple fishermen that people didn't go with. And so we see that carrying the burdens for other people is the way Jesus did, and it's fulfilling the law of love. And we don't always need to ask. I know for the long term, if this happens again and again, we have to ask this, but we don't always have to ask whether people were smart, as we mentioned before. I used to go backpacking. We had three Mikes, one we called Big Mike, one we called Little Mike. My good friend was the other Mike, just Mike. But Little Mike, I still remember the first time he went backpacking. It was not the first time he carried a backpack, because I've told you a story about Little Mike on a day trip with his backpack being too heavy. But we were going on like 4 or 5 day backpacking trip. And tiny little Italian Mike, it had this ginormous backpack that none of us really noticed until we were half an hour into the hike and didn't want to turn back. And he just said, "I can't take another step." I said, "We got days of hiking to do. I mean, it's like 100 miles we're going to get in this time. And we have places to be." And so, literally, a 10-pound sleeping bag. It was like this big. It's like putting a trash can. I tied that onto my pack. It made me so top-heavy, I thought I was going to fall over. I put it lower, but I'd fall backwards. And we divvied up all the other stuff from his pack. And we made it through. And I'd like to tell you that, you know, we were really nice about this and stuff like that. But we kept telling, Mike, you are never doing this again. I am never carrying your stinking backpack ever again. It's going to be warm the next few days. Do you need really to have that sleeping bag? You know, it didn't get codependent. Mike's father had some money, and next time he was ultralight. He had all the snazziest equipment and stuff like that. And he was laughing at us for being poor people that had all the heavy stuff. But you see, when you carry a load for someone, whether it's physical or emotional, there's a weight to it. Sitting down and having somebody talk is the story at the beginning for 2 hours. Wears you out by the end, doesn't it? It's a good thing. It's a load you want to do. But if you're selfish about it, you might just say, "Ooh, I'm looking for the door." And yet it's important to carry the loads of other people without becoming codependent on people that never get better. Love is in action is what carrying burdens is. It's also, we see that love connects us together. One of my best stories of a friend, I have a friend who is a very successful businesswoman, and she tells a story of she was in the airport, she was in her 40s, saw a lady about 30 years old who was crying discreetly over in the corner, and God sort of led her to go up to this woman. She went up to her and learned that she was going back for a funeral for her mother, and she's only 30 years old and her mother has died, and so she's just taking it hard as she's waiting for the plane. Well, my friend had lost her mother when she was 17 or 18, and they connected. They found out they were both believers, and they found out that this lady was a very successful businesswoman and entrepreneur herself, this 30-year-old. And they went up to the people there because they're on the same flight, and they asked to be sat next to each other, and they got that, and so they spent the time on the flight. You know, these two are close friends, even though one lives in California, one lives in New Jersey. To this day, they're still close friends. And the one woman ended up mentoring the other woman in her business expansion. You'd actually know the names of their companies. It's an incredible story. And I tell the story because she could have been selfish, and she thinks, "Well, man, I've just been dealing with weighty things myself. I'm stressed from the business meeting I came out of. I just want to put on my tunes and chill out." And then that woman wouldn't have been comforted, and she would have lost a very good friend. Understand how following the Lord is always the right way, even when it costs you something that God gives back. And she loves that story because it helps her in the times when she wants to say no and not bear the burden of someone else. Next one, I got a little fancy on here. I don't do this often. You know, I don't alliterate much. Conceit is deceit. I'm a poet and I don't even know it. Yeah, I know. I learned that when I was 5. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. It's a very simple sentence, both in Greek and English. There's nothing really to explain. Anyone thinks they're something. Very vague. Anybody thinks they're more than they are. It's self-deceit. And so we get that no one is above this heavy lifting, the carrying of other people's burdens. Nobody has arrived. No one is too important for this stuff. You may be busy and you may need to be careful of how you spend your time, but there's nothing, no service job that is beneath you or beneath me. You know, Jesus' disciples, you know, got it in their heads that they were something. You know, pretty close to Jesus, wondered which one was the most important. So he told them, he who would be the greatest among you must be the servant of everyone. What? Okay, now that really stinks. I want to be something. I've got to serve everybody. Woo! That's a different economy, isn't it? You want God to say you're something, then you don't think you're something. You see everyone else as something and an opportunity to serve. And so when this gets in the way of helping somebody heal in their sin or carrying a burden for someone, we're deceiving ourselves, and it's problematic, it's foolishness. I don't even remember the people from this story. It comes from this church. It was the first weeks I was here, and so I didn't even know who y'all were. But all these people were in their, like, 30s, you know, so, and I was in my mid-50s at the time. And after one of the men's meeting, we had to move a piano. And somebody asked, you know, who's available? I said, I'm available. They looked dubiously at me and my 56 years old. And then they said, who has ever moved a piano before? And I raised my hand. How many? 100? And they, ooh, raw meat. 100? Have you ever gone up a basement stair? Too many times. So it had to go from the basement to the living room. And so we got there. You know, nobody's above the heavy lifting. They just would not let me touch the sinking piano. All they wanted was my experience. And I understand this. Sometimes you have to switch from the heavy lifting to the advisory, but everyone's got to serve. And being there is important. And by the way, you know you have good friends when you want a piano moved from your basement to your living room with a narrow, you know, stairwell, right? And you better have pizza. And no, that's not my pickup out there, and I don't move pianos anymore. But you know, nobody's above it. We may learn and change the role we play, but nothing's beneath us. And it's foolishness. Service is a lifestyle. Okay, it ends with the curse of comparison. The curse of comparison. Each one should test their own actions, not other people. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. In other words, it's between you and God. How are you doing? Are you growing? And you should look back and say, man, in the last 10 years, God has taken me places. There's been some growth, and you should feel good about that. But you see, comparison is problematic. It blocks empathy, and it blocks ministry, because empathy is feeling, and ministry is doing. And there's two sides to this coin, two sides to this nasty double-edged sword, pride and self-loathing. And I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. It's the same sin, just the different sides, because both of them are focused on me, me, me. I'm so terrible. I'm so awful. Everything's so bad. When you're focused on me, when I'm focused on me, I'm not thinking of serving you. And that is when I have to most serve you. When I'm the most beat up because I've gone through emotional things at work, things are going wrong, I have to find someone to serve, I have found out. Because the thing that takes me off of me and keeps me from licking my wounds repetitively is to serve someone else. And this comparison can get in the way of that. What about that person? They're not doing it. What about that person? They're struggling with that. What about this person? They're so much better than me. Whatever place we do, and we cannot get into ourselves in these comparisons. I still remember when I was first playing volleyball. It happened because they put in two sand volleyball courts half a block from where I lived in Boulder, Colorado. And it drew out some really good players. And I was either 12 or 13 at the time. And my brother, a year and a half older than me. And we would go over there to play volleyball. And I can remember one day in particular early on, we'd probably been doing it for 6 months, but a really good team was there and nobody else to play with. And remember, I was about this tall at that time and couldn't even jump, you know, to the top of the net, let alone spike the ball. But we played against these guys to warm up until real people arrived. It turned out later that one of the guys was the best volleyball player in the Rocky Mountain region at the time. And, you know, he would later play at the short-lived professional league. Yes, there's another story where my brother Dave and I won a volleyball tournament, got season tickets for the professional volleyball league, and they went bankrupt. Somewhere one of us still has them just to cry over every once in a while. Seemed like such a great prize. I could take it and not get rid of my amateur status. And so he was really good. But I still remember him coming over afterwards. I said, man, I'm so sorry we didn't give you a good game. He said, that's the best game we've had in months. I said, what? How? He said, I said, you guys get everything up. You're a great defense. I said, I can hardly breathe because we had to keep hitting that ball. I said, yeah, but we couldn't do any offense. He said, first off, if you want to play this beach stuff, defense wins. You know, they give the offense, but if you bring up that ball, you get a chance to put it down again. And he said, you are great, and you can be really good. And I learned out weeks later he was the best volleyball within 500 miles player. That's the way I want to be. You know, and that's the reason why I made it to play professional beach volleyball, because someone like that wasn't into themselves. So you see, it can be spiritual, it can be in sports, it can be emotional, it can be mental. When someone just doesn't think they're something. You see, this guy had many other things, as I learned out later. He was an engineer, he's a born-again Christian, and his volleyball was something he did on the side so that he could tell more people about Jesus. That's what I wanted to do with my volleyball, and I learned it from him first. And so when people don't think they're something, and you find out they really are something later, you go, ooh, right? And they trade a 13-year-old like they're the most important guy out there. I want to do that. I don't want to ever arrive. I want to be the one who'll get down in the dirt and help somebody get out of the mud. I want to be the one that will carry a heavy burden that doesn't look attractive, that I want to avoid, and be with them through the dark times so that I can be with them in the good. Here's our application suggestions. Prayerfully consider if you're carrying burdens for one another. Ask God to make you more other-focused. All of these are more on us and less on me. Ask a friend if there's something you could do to lighten his or her load. This is important. Ask if there's something to lighten the load. That's a good phrase. And push in. It's not as bad as here as it was when I was a pastor in North Dakota or when I was growing up in Colorado. These Western rancher type places were really rugged individualists, and I never need you. You know, we got to get over that. Ask a friend and push deeper to make sure it's not just the first response that's the polite response. You know, sit down with people and say, what do we need? Do something specifically to lighten the load for someone this week. Now, Pastor Eric gets points on this one because he already did it last week. You remember that I started out last week by saying that Sandra's nephew had taken his own life. And I told the staff that this is hard because Sandra's going to be gone for a while, and it's been particularly busy and a lot of heavy personal stuff I've been doing lately. Pastor Eric sends an email back right away. I can preach one or two times in the next month. What do you need? You know, he's scheduled for the 24th, by the way. Immediately, I just felt relief, like the burden was less. Okay, I can catch my breath. I can figure this all out. I can schedule these things in. Now I can find a way through it. You don't get credit for that one, Eric, because that was last week. This is this week's homework. No. But you see, this is the way the church is. We must remember, we were saved by grace through faith, not by ourselves, as a free gift from God. And we want to live in a way that models that, so that people ask us why we're coming alongside them and carrying their burdens. We can say, because Jesus was the ultimate burden bearer, and point them to him. To God be the glory.